Okay, the Sedra starts out, Vayetze Yaakov mi Beersheva, Vayelech Harana. Rashi, in the name of Chazal, asks, it didn't have to tell us that Yaakov left Beersheva, because we knew he was in Beersheva. All it had to say is Vayelech Harana. And I would know if he went to Haran, he couldn't be in Beersheva, so he must have left Beersheva. Why did the Torah have to tell us openly Vayetze Yaakov in Beersheva? So, so Rashi says there that it tells me that Aziva Tzadik min Hamakom Osaroshim, when a Tzadik leaves a place, it makes an impression. That as long as the Tzadik is in the city, he is the light and the glory and the honor of the city. When he leaves, it all leaves with him. Okay. Then Rashi tells us, there's another idea here, why it had to say Vayetze and Vayelech, to tell me that he didn't leave right away. He did leave, but he didn't go right away. There was something between the Vayetze and the Vayelech. Between his leaving Beersheva and going to Haran, he spent 14 years learning in the yeshiva of Aver. Rashi says, not Shem and Aver, because Shem at this point had already died. So Aver, his son, was the Rosh Yeshiva. So Yaakov Avinu, for 14 years, he learned Torah in the yeshiva of Aver. Between the time that he left Beersheva and actually went to Haran, it's a 14-year hiatus. And he didn't sleep for all those 14 years. Didn't mean he didn't sleep at all, because that's impossible. You can't go without sleep for 3 days. So halachically, it's impossible. So what it means is he didn't go to bed, lie down in a bed and go to sleep. He learned 14 years straight, and whenever he got tired, he put his head down and he slept for as much as was necessary, and then he got up immediately. He didn't go to sleep for 14 years, even though he slept. Okay. Now my question is the following. That was such an important thing that Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov Avinu is the Amud HaTorah. He is the pillar of Torah amongst the Avos. Avraham was Chesed, Yitzchak is Avoda, and Yaakov is Ches Torah. And here is perhaps the most significant Torah that Yaakov learned, 14 years straight. Why did the Torah only hint to it and swallow it up between Vayetze and Vayelech, and not tell us Vayetze Yaakov Beersheva, Vayelech Yeshiva Sefer, V'lomad Shom Arba Esrei Shana? Right? Why didn't say it openly? Why just hint to it in between the Vayetze and the Vayelech? Very, very subtle hint. The Maharal Miprag says, very interesting idea. He says the Torah reflects the reality of what happened. Torah is like a blueprint. The blueprint reflects what is in the house. So if it's a wall, it looks one way. If it's something inside the wall, it looks differently. So too, something that happened openly is reflected in the Torah in an open way. Something that happened in a very hidden way is hidden in the Torah. It doesn't appear in the Torah open. It appears in the Torah in a hidden fashion, because it reflects something that happened hidden. That's a maral. I have a different idea, maybe. Why the Torah did not come out specifically and say that Yaakov went and learned for 14 years, why it just hinted to it between the Vayetze and the Vayelech. And that is the following. Had it said it separately, I would have said the three things happened here. Yaakov left Beersheva, he went to Haran, and in between he learned Torah. The Torah is telling us that his ability to leave Beersheva and his ability to go to Haran all had their source in the Torah that he learned. The fact that the Torah is mentioned directly means that the Vayetze was the Torah and the Vayelech is with the Torah. Those itself, his leaving and his going, were predicated and were a result of the Torah that he learned. Torah wasn't a separate thing. There was a going and there was a leaving and a going, and there was also a time that he learned Torah. But his ability to leave and his ability to go came from the Torah itself. Meaning the following. Let me start with a little bit of a preface from the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says that it says over here, Vayetze Vayelech. He left and he went. And had to mention both of them. Why? Because Yaakov was fulfilling two mitzvahs. One by leaving and one by going. His mother told him to get out of here because Esau wants to kill you. So his main intention was to leave where he was. Didn't make a difference where he was going, just get out of here. And that he fulfilled the mitzvah of his mother to leave Beersheba. His father, right, not knowing that Esau wants to kill Yaakov, wasn't concerned that he leave Beersheba. He was concerned that he go to Haran and find a wife. His main concern was where he's going, not where he's leaving. Just you have to leave to be able to go. He wanted him to find a wife. So he was mekayim the mitzvah of his father by going and the mitzvah of his mother by leaving. Each one was a separate thing. The Torah wants to tell us by not mentioning the learning openly, but just as a hint between the two, that the whole power to leave and be protected from Esav and his whole power to go and to find a wife came from the Torah. The going and the leaving itself were the Torah. The Torah itself enabled the going and the leaving. And now let me explain how that works. First of all, the going. He was leaving to escape Esav and to put himself in a more secure, safe environment. Torah is what gives life. Without Torah, there's no life. There's no security. There's no safety. Torah makes a person's life more secure and more substantive and more protected. Right? That's why it says if there wouldn't be constant Torah learning, then the world couldn't exist. In Lo Brisi Yoma Velayla, Huko Shamayim Va'aretz Lo Samti. If it wouldn't be for the Torah, the laws of nature would not exist. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner says it doesn't mean that if it hadn't been that we accepted the Torah, the world would have reverted back to nothingness. But it means on an ongoing basis, if there's not Torah being learned every second, that's what keeps the world going. That's the energy source to the world. And if for 1 second there'd be no Torah in the world, then there'd be no world. Now, just as much as that applies to the macrocosm, it applies to the microcosm too. Every human being is a small world. And the life force of a human being is from Torah. Physical life, person gets without Torah. But that physical life has eternal substance to it is only from Torah. In fact, it says that only someone who learns Torah has eternal life. Kol mi sheyesh bo or Torah mechayehu. Someone who has the light of Torah within him, the light of Torah learning, has the eternal. Torah is eternal life. Torah is kihem chayenu v'orech yomenu, literally. So if you don't have Torah, you don't have that eternal life. It's not there. So the Gemara asks, what about women? Don't have a mitzvah to learn. So Gemara says, but they support their husbands, their children, Klal Yisrael, in learning Torah. That's therefore they. It's considered they are the cause of that Torah. That's their Torah too. So therefore, the reason why Torah gives life so much, because it is the greatest mitzvah, both in quality and quantity. Every letter of Torah that you learn is another mitzvah. And Talmud Torah keneged kulam, Talmud Torah in quality is the greatest qualitative mitzvah. So therefore, Torah is what gives a person security and life and keeps the little world of the individual going, just as it keeps the big world of the universe going. In addition, learning Torah, the more Torah a person learns, the more significant and important his life is, and therefore it's more protected. It's more valuable, and therefore the Rabbanu Shalom protects it more. And like we said, the Torah gives physical life eternal meaning. So that preserves it. Beyond that, if Yaakov, so therefore, the Torah that he learned enabled him to be protected from Esav. It wasn't just that he was running away. It's the Torah he learned that made that running away significant. In addition, Esav had a merit, Kibud Av. He honored his father. But Kibud Av is predicated on an appreciation of this world, of temporal life. Because your parents gave you temporal life. If you appreciate life, you have to appreciate your parents. Even if they gave you nothing more. But if you appreciate the life they gave you, then appreciate them. So, Kibud Av is an appreciation of physical life. But Talmud Torah adds a dimension of eternal life. So therefore, somebody who's sitting and learning Torah has a bigger merit than somebody who is fulfilling the mitzvah of honoring a parent. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu was at a disadvantage in the fact that Esav had such Kibud Av. And he was running away and wasn't going to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av and Kibud Eim during those 22 years he was away. But the 14 years of Torah learning gave him a greater merit than Kibud Av, because Kibud Av is only Chayishah, is only temporal life, and Torah learning is eternal life. So that was the first aspect. The first aspect is that in order to run away from Esav and to be protected, right, Yaakov had to create the eternal life force that Torah gives. And the protected and secure life that Torah gives. So it wasn't just his running away from Beersheba that protected from Esav. It was running away from Beersheba with the power of Torah with him. So therefore, the running away to fulfill the purpose of saving him from Esav needed Torah. So the running away itself was given its power by Torah, not just the physical getting away from Esav. Second thing, now the going, vayelech, going to find a wife. In order to get married, first of all, even though the Gemara says that a first marriage does not depend on who you are, what you are, but it was preordained before you're born. Bas ploni leploni, the Rebbe Hashem sets up shiduchim before a person is born. Before a person is born, you don't know if he's going to be a tzaddik or a rosh. However, some Rishonim learn that simply. The Gemara says in a second marriage, zivug sheni, that does depend on who you are and what you are, and the Rebbe Hashem matches up people according to what they deserve. Okay. Now, some learn that simply, zivug rishon means your first marriage. And zivug sheni means a second marriage. But the Me'iri says it doesn't mean that. First marriage means if you get married before bar mitzvah. Then it has nothing to do with your tzaddik or rasha because you're a child. And therefore, if you get married immediately after bar mitzvah or a girl before bas mitzvah, doesn't depend on merit, it depends on something preordained. But if you get married after bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, then that's called second marriage. Second stage of marriage, not a second marriage actually. And there it depends really not on what was preordained, but that can change according to your merit or demerit. So Yaakov Avinu was for sure more than bar mitzvah. He was 63 when he left. Yeah, 63. And therefore, what's it called? It's considered a second marriage. So it depends on your merit or demerit. So the more Torah you learn, the more of a person you are who's going to deserve a good mate. That's one idea. The Akedah says a different idea of first marriage, second marriage. It says your first marriage is the match HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you at birth or at conception with your midos, your character traits, your personality. Your first match is your personality. That's called your first marriage. Second marriage is getting married to a spouse. So according to everybody, according to every situation, the second marriage is getting married. First marriage is having your personality matched up with you. So therefore, according to both of those opinions, Yaakov Avinu was going on a second marriage. And therefore, it depended on his merit or demerit if he was going to get a good match or not a good match. So the more Torah he learned made his ability to go and find the wife more substantial. So the going, which meant to go and find the wife, was given its power through the Torah that he learned. So the going itself is the Torah. He couldn't go without that Torah. Another idea is that in order to create a good marriage, shalom bayis, right? Shalom bayis does not mean a home where nobody ever disagrees, nobody raises their voice, everything is calm and serene. That does not describe shalom bayis. That describes a cemetery. Shalom bayis means shleimus habayis, the perfection of the home, which means that everybody recognizes their mission, their tafkid, their place and purpose, and what's the word for tafkid? Their
role.
Yeah, that's a good one. Their role in the home, and how they have to interact with the other roles in the home, and everybody is doing whatever they're doing for the sake of the whole. They're all contributing their unique role and benefiting from the roles of others. That's called shalom. And therefore, there can be vociferous arguments with one condition, that everybody is concerned what's good for everybody and not what's good for me. That's called shalom bayis, shleimus habayis. And how do people know and define their roles and their responsibilities and their benefits? Torah defines it. And that's why the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings it down in the end of Hilchos Chanukah, Lo nitna Torah el lahavi shalom la'olam. The entire reason the Torah was given was to bring peace to the world. Peace not meaning serenity, peace meaning perfection. Perfection meaning where everything is defined and delineated. What is the role of this thing? How do you use it properly? Because the world is a team effort. Perfection is only gotten when things work together. The only thing that's perfect by itself is God. Otherwise, every created thing is only partially perfect and needs other things to perfect it and to help perfect those things. So, in order to have shalom bayis, you need a team effort. In order to have a team effort, you have to have something that defines what the members of the team are and what their responsibilities are. So therefore, without Torah, Yaakov could not have merited a good shidduch, and he couldn't have built a perfect home. And another thing, Torah brings a person to midos tovos. Imein Torah, ein derech eretz. And the Mesil Shasharim brings down the brice of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer, Torah mevili de zehiros. All the midos that the Mesil Shasharim speaks about preceded by Torah. Torah opens the gate for work on your midos. So if there's no Torah, there's no derech eretz. So therefore, and if you don't have derech eretz and you don't have good midos, there's no way that you can interact and create a home, because it's without midos tovos, the home's going to be a disaster. So that's another reason why his going to find a shidduch and build the first, you know, fully Jewish home, where all the children were tzaddikim, wasn't going to happen unless Yaakov had Torah first, because the Torah helped to perfect his midos. In addition to that, right, in order to have a functioning home where the home becomes a pillar of Torah itself, you need that everything in the house surround itself to Torah. That's what it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Kachi darka shel Torah. If you want to know if you're on the path of Torah or not, here is the test. Pas b'melech tochal. Eat bread and salt. Mayim b'mesura tishta. Drink measured water. V'al ha'aretz tishon. Sleep on the floor. U'v'Torah ata'amel. And you busy yourself and toil in Torah. Then, imata osekein. If you do this, Ashrecha v'tov lach. You're fortunate and it's good for you. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh. You're fortunate in this world. Good for you in the next world. A few questions. First of all, it would seem from that Mishnah that if you eat anything more than bread and salt or drink anything different than water and you don't sleep on the floor, you're not Bederech HaTorah. So we sleep in beds, we eat more than bread and salt, and we drink things other than water. So we're not b'derech haTorah. In fact, if that's what it means, I don't know anybody who, I never knew anybody who was b'derech haTorah. Because even the Rosh Yeshivas I knew slept in beds. I only had an old aunt who had back trouble, used to sleep on the floor, so she was probably the only person I ever knew was b'derech haTorah. So what does it mean? What it means is the following. You could eat steak, sleep on a Sealy mattress, right, and drink champagne. But what would be if you wouldn't have those creature comforts, but you'd still be able to learn and observe Torah? How would you feel? If you still would feel fortunate and understand that this is what's good for me because it's kedai to live, even with all of the lack of creature comforts, because the main thing of this world is to observe the Torah and learn Torah, so you'll be able to get Olam Haba. So if you didn't have any of those things, but you were able to busy yourself in Torah, and you'd still feel fortunate, then you're in B'derech HaTorah. And then Taka, it's good for you, fortunate in this world, good for you in the next world. But if you would be missing those things, you'd feel miserable. Then that means that the Torah is not the happiness feeling of being fortunate in this world, but these creature comforts are what make you fortunate. Then you're not b'derech haTorah. What is the ikkar in your life? How do you know? What would be if you wouldn't be able to have the creature comforts? Would you still feel fortunate or not? If you wouldn't, then those are the ikkar in your life, and they're missing them. If you would, because you're still able to learn and observe Torah, so you'd still feel fortunate because the ikkar is still here, then you realize those things are only a tafel, they're only a secondary thing. They only enhance your Torah life, but your real life is Torah. So in order to be able to really create a family, okay, and create a home where everything revolves around Torah, you have to have a lot of Torah learning. So Yaakov Avinu was preparing both to get the right kind of shidduch and to be able to, what's it called, make a functioning home where everybody knows their role, and to, what's it called, make the Torah the central point that everything else revolves around by learning Torah. So his ability to fulfill his father's command of going and finding a wife was only made effective by the Torah that he learned. So when it says that he went to find a wife, it that is the Torah. It's the Torah that gave him the power to do that. It's not a separate thing. That is the Yetziah. His going was founded and fueled by Torah. And another thing. Now Yaakov was going to have to raise children. Okay, in order to raise children, the more of a ben Torah or bas Torah the mother and father are, the more the children will see by example and learn by. The greatest learning is not by what you're taught by what's taught to you, but what you see as living examples, parents, so, or a teacher or whatever. So in order to be a living example of a Torah way of life, Yaakov had to learn more and more Torah. So that was also part of his fulfilling his father's command to find a wife and build a family. The Torah was an integral part of that he should be able to be a good role model for his children. In addition, the more, in order to teach someone Torah, you have to know the Torah yourself. If something is clear to you, you can give it over to somebody else. If it's not clear to you, then you can't convince anybody. That's why it says, Vishinantam levonecha. Vishinanta means the Torah should be sharp in your mouth. You shouldn't stutter. Say it. Know it sharply. But it's not going on your learning. It's going on teaching it to your child. But if it's not sharp in your mouth and you're not clear about it, you'll never be able to give it over to your child. So it has to start by being sharp in your mouth, and then you can teach it to your children. That's why the word lemor, right, can mean two things. It means to tell over to others. It also means clarity. It was said with clarity, because they go together, right? The idea is that that if you know something clearly, you can give it over to others. If you don't know it clearly, you can't. So the more Torah that Yaakov learned, the more he was able to not only create a shidduch and build a family and make a home that is predicated on Torah and that where everybody knows their place, but he also was able to have that clarity to be able to educate his children too, both in a living example and also in the clarity that he could give over. If you're not clear about something, then you can't convince anybody. That's why it says that one of the milers of Avraham Avinu, the Ravid says, is that he was able to expose the Avodah Zorah, the way I learned the Rambam, the Ravid. He exposed the Avodah Zorah for what it really was, and therefore he broke the idols. Breaking an idol isn't just taking a hammer and breaking it, because the person can make another one. So you didn't accomplish anything. Breaking it means that it remains broken, that you conceptually destroy the idolatry in the eyes of the one who served it, and once you break that idol, he's not going to make any more. Avraham Avinu was able to do that, and the other tzaddikim of his generation weren't. Why? Because Avraham Avinu had the clarity of being able to expose the idolatry for what it was and not dress it up in some kind of facade that it's honoring God because you're honoring things that he honored, which was the mistake of how Avodah Zarah, how idolatry started. The other Gedolim could not expose it for what it was. They couldn't show that it's darkness. There was light and darkness mixed in. And if you're not clear in something, you can't convince somebody else. The more clear you are, the more you can convince somebody else. If you want to raise children, aside from being a good example, living example, you also have to have clarity in what you know, what you believe in, and then you can give it over to your children too and make them have clarity and commitment or whatever. But if you're not committed, you're not so clear in what you're committed to or what you know, there's no way you could give it over to your children. There should be more than what you know. And you're going to give it over in a wishy-washy way. So the more Torah Yaakov Avinu learned, the more that he was able to educate his children. In addition, Yaakov Avinu had to support his family. He had to prepare for getting a job and living in the world as a provider. So for that, he also needed to learn a lot of Torah. Because if a person spends time working, earning a living, and the main thing in his life is not Torah, then all of that time is wasting time from Torah. At best, it's permissible, but it's not a mitzvah. But if you make the Torah the main thing in your life, and everything else you do, the earning the living or whatever, is to enable you to be able to learn and observe Torah, and to raise your family as observant people. You need a house, you need money, you need food, you need a mortgage, you need a car, you need all these things to be able to create a Torah environment, then all those things become a preparation for Torah and they're part of the mitzvah. That's why it says that when a person, after 120 years, the first thing you're judged on is Torah learning in the next world. Yet, the Gemara says that you're asked six questions. The first one is, did you deal in business honestly? And the second one is, did you set aside time for learning Torah? So Tosfos asks, if your first judgment is on Torah, why do they ask you first about your business? First ask about the Torah and judge. Then ask about the business and judge that, since the first judgment is going to be on Torah. I have an answer I think is valid, and that's the following. Somebody who learns 1 hour a day and works 12 hours a day. So he thinks he's going to get rewarded for 1 hour of Torah learning. And the other one, okay, it's, you know, he had to work. But the truth is that if he works in order to be able to learn Torah and observe the Torah, then his work becomes part of the mitzvah of Torah learning. It's a preparation. And that's the case. He's not going to get rewarded for 1 hour of learning Torah. He's going to get rewarded for 13 hours. 1 hour is he actually learning, and 12 hours he's preparing for it. Because everything he does is a preparation for leading a Torah life and learning Torah. So therefore, before we can ascertain how much time you set aside for Torah, we're going to first ascertain how you worked. Because if you have made an honest living, and you have intention that you're making the living in order to be able to learn, to live and learn Torah, then your living, the part time you're earning a living, is also counts for Torah learning. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu, by learning Torah intensely, prepared himself to find the right shidduch, to be able to create a functional home, to be able to have the right midos, right, and roles to play in the house. He was able to be able to educate his children because it was clearer to him, the Torah, and was able to set the whole household, the building of a household to revolve around Torah and to be an extension of his Torah. So for all of those reasons, to fulfill the mitzvah of Ayelech, of going, to fulfill the mitzvah of his father, of finding a shidduch, he needed all that Torah. So the Torah wasn't something separate from his going, it was the essence of his going, was the Torah. He went with the Torah that he learned, and that was going to enable him to fulfill his father's command of finding a wife and building a family. And another thing is, he's going to have to live and survive in the environment of love. How do you survive the Yetzer Hara of environmental influence? So Barasi Yetzer Hara, the religion that created the Yetzer Hara by creating Torah to be the antidote, to be the spice for what's it called, for the Yetzer Hara. So if Yaakov's going to have to exist amongst love, and he's going to need more and more Torah. The more Torah he has, the more he's able to survive the influences of Lavan, right? And that's why it says that Yaakov later on told Esav, "In Lavan garti, the tarig mitzvah shamarti, v'lo lamadati myself." I live with Lavan, and I kept all tarig mitzvahs, and I didn't learn from Lavan's evil deeds. They ask, how could he have kept 613 mitzvahs? Some of the mitzvahs were in Eretz Israel, only one is a Beis HaMikdash. He was in Chutz Laretz. So a lot of mitzvahs he didn't have. Beyond that, he didn't have the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avayim. Beyond that, he married two sisters. So that's another mitzvah he didn't do. So how could Yaakov say, "V'tarik mitzvah shomarti"? The answer is, the word shomarti doesn't mean I observe them. Shomarti means I learned about them. The way of fulfilling the mitzvahs, if you can't do them, is to learn about them. So I was able, through my Torah learning, to observe all the 613 mitzvahs from a learning standpoint, and that protected me from being influenced from the environment of love. That's why the Medrash says, "Lemishpechosei," building a family that has Torah values protects you from the negative environment around you. How so? It says, "Lemishpechoseim yotzu min ha-teva," that they left Noach's ark by family. So the Medrash says, from there we learn that when you leave Shul, you should leave by family. So the simple meaning is that the Teva was Noah's ark, but the Teva in Hebrew, in Mishneic Hebrew, means the Aron Kodesh. Right? So when you leave the Teva, you leave the Aron Kodesh, leave by family. That's the play on words. In English, it still has the same connotation. There's Noah's Ark and there's the Holy Ark. They're both arks. So when you leave the Ark, leave by family. Okay.
We don't leave actually by family because the men go from.
Yeah. Okay. But when you get together, leave together. Right. Men shouldn't walk home first, and the women, family should go walk together. But what's the deeper meaning? The deeper meaning is like this. We live in a world where we are surrounded and inundated by floodwaters and an environment that could destroy us. So many things out there. And you can't escape them. You can't run away. The only thing you can do is insulate yourself from them like a boat. You have to have a boat that can't go anywhere except on the water. But the water can't get in. That's, what are the boats? What are the tevos? Yeshivas, girls' schools, shuls, kehilas, those are the boats. Those insulate you from the environment, the negative environment around. But you can't stay in a shul your whole life. You can't stay in a girls' school your whole life. You can't stay, in a kehila, in a shul your whole life. How do you leave and still be protected? That's what it says. If you want to leave the teva, you want to leave the shul, the yeshiva, the girls' school, and still be protected, you have to create a family that has the same standards and values as your girls' school, as your yeshiva, as your kehila, and then it's like a lifeboat. You can leave the major ship, but you're still in that lifeboat that's gonna protect you. So that's what it means. You leave the teva by family if you create the right kind of family. So therefore, Yaakov Avinu needed all that Torah learning to be able to survive the influence of Lavan. So, Vayetze Yaakov, Vayelech, that is the Torah. His power to leave and be protected from Esav, Torah. His power to go and get married and build a family and survive in the atmosphere of Lavan, Torah. So the Torah didn't speak about the Torah separately. It told me that the Torah, that lack of learn was hinted between these words, Vayetze and Vayelech, and they are the essence of his leaving and his going. That's what I think. And therefore, it says also, Talmud Torah connected, he had to know how to function in the world. There's a lot of mitzvahs to do, a lot of things to be involved with. If you don't have Torah, you don't know how to use them properly. You don't even know if the mitzvah you're doing is a mitzvah. You think you're doing a chesed, and Torah tells you this is not a chesed. Right? You think that, what's it called, that giving somebody drugs because they're an addict is a chesed, but if you learn Torah, you realize the best thing to do is to direct them to get off the drugs and not to feed his habit. So you always need Reb Chaim Mordechai Katz, whose yahrzeit is coming up next week, Yud Beis Kislev. He said the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam means that you have to take all the mitzvahs and put them opposite learning Torah to be able to evaluate them if they're mitzvahs or not. You need to look at the mitzvahs through the lenses of Torah. That's what it means. All these mitzvahs, Gemilas Chasodim and everything, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, you need the Torah opposite them to view them through the lenses of Torah. So therefore, everything that Yaakov had to do, both the negative of running away from Esav and the positive of finding a wife, building a home, making a parnasa, surviving in a negative environment, all of it was a result of his Torah. So the Torah is represented by Vayetze and Vayelech. That is the Torah. His power to leave and his power to go with the power of Torah. And Amir Sashem, each one of us make our lives, right, richer and more protected and more meaningful, right, and more clear and directed by the more Torah we learn, right, and that kind of Torah even a woman has to learn. Then Mitzvah Hashem will also have that benefits that Yaakov had from learning those 14 years nonstop, right, making his leaving successful, making his going successful, and eventually his coming back. Okay. Yes.
When Yaakov was with his father, he learned Torah, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this was like an intense, right. But this was an intense, nonstop preparation to fulfill the mitzvah of his mother and father, and that was what created his ability to do both of those things: to be saved from Esav and to find the shidduch.
When his father told him to go to Haran to find a wife, inherent in that was saying, go and learn.
Right. Okay. Because otherwise you're not going to, well, like we said, all the things, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just wondering what he learned.
What did he learn? Pashtus, he learned all of the elucidation of the seven mitzvahs of Noah, which, just like our 613 mitzvahs have unlimited amount on each thing, there's unlimited amount of learning in the seven mitzvahs too.
So he didn't learn
No. That wasn't. He learned basically the mitzvahs that existed at that time, and all of their details.
When did Yitzchak learn Torah?
They all learned Torah, right? But where did he learn? Also, probably in the yeshiva of Shem and Eva. No, because that wasn't his main quality.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The way it's better too is still trying to understand. It was supposed to give clarity over to the children. It just seems we're never going to get to that.
No, so a person has to work together. As he's gaining more clarity, he gives over, and then he learns more, and sometimes by teaching others you gain more clarity too. So it's an ongoing process. Yeah.
Yeah. What if there's a man who doesn't have a big appetite and doesn't really care about food and doesn't really care about, like, what if there's a guy who just, it's natural for him not to care about those things, so he actually lives a life of deprivation, but it doesn't affect him at all because he doesn't really care.
Okay,
so does he get less high for living that life because he doesn't care?
That depends. It's not living a life of deprivation that's positive. It's doing it in order to be able to toil and toil.
If it's not a sacrifice for him, right, he's less hard for doing it.
Perhaps, or maybe he'll put more energy into Torah because he's not a sacrifice and he's able, then he'll make up for it.